Hey, good evening, and welcome to my Family Priorities Telephone Town Hall. As you know, I'm Senator James Andrew Malone. I represent you in Pennsylvania's 36th Senatorial District, which covers most of Northern Lancaster County. Tonight's town hall will focus on issues related to kids and families, like childcare, education, and family health. With this in mind, we'll be taking calls, receiving questions and thoughts from audience members about issues related to kids and families. I'm particularly interested in hearing from folks who are parents, caretakers, or people who work directly with children, but everyone is welcome to submit their thoughts. To participate in the live call portion of tonight's town hall, press star three on your keypad at any time and add yourself to the queue. Please be patient as we work through callers to try to get to you. Before taking calls, I want to provide some updates on my work as it relates to families. First, one of the major issues I'm working on is childcare. I know the cost of childcare and difficulty finding care is a burden on many young families in Lancaster. According to a recent study, the average cost of childcare in America has increased more than $3,000 between 2020 and 2025. That has far outpaced inflation and is putting families in a very difficult position. Many people are pulling back from the workforce or even being fired because of challenges related to childcare. This can have a devastating impact on a family's financial position. It also has a negative ripple effect on our entire local economy. As someone who has raised children in a household where both parents work outside the home, I can personally empathize with the strain a large financial burden like this can put on a family budget. There are many factors contributing to these rising costs of this essential service, which is why I'm proud to be working with Governor Shapiro and my colleagues to address the issue on multiple fronts. I was pleased to vote for the state budget last year that included a $25 million investment in childcare recruitment and retention grants to help more centers maintain and expand their staff. I am pleased to see a proposed increase of $10 million to the program this year to help meet current demand. To complement this investment, I introduced a bill that I believe will be a good investment for both parents and businesses by offering incentives for employers to help cover the cost of their employees' childcare. My legislation, Senate Bill 1310, would do this by expanding Pennsylvania's Employer Child Care Contribution Tax Credit program. Under the current program, employers can only receive a maximum tax credit of $150 per employee annually for their contribution to childcare. From what we've seen, this has not been a meaningful enough incentive for employer participation. My bill will expand the tax credit program to match 100% of the employer contribution to eligible childcare programs up to $10,000 per employee each year. If taken full advantage of, this would offset over 75% of the average cost of childcare. This means Pennsylvanian businesses would be empowered to attract and retain talent with the offer of a substantial childcare benefit. It would also aid working parents by expanding childcare benefits through work, helping to offset one of the largest financial burdens on young families. In addition to my work on childcare, I've also been working to protect kids in our ever-changing technological landscape. As many of you may recall, there was a horrific incident at Lancaster Country Day School involving sexually explicit AI deepfakes that started back in 2023. At the time, 48 female students and 12 other girls were victims of sexually explicit deepfake images generated by two male students using AI. School officials were made aware of the abuse, but did not report it to the appropriate authority for several months, revealing a critical gap in Pennsylvania's mandatory reporting law. After speaking with victims and their families, I introduced legislation to close that reporting gap and require all mandated reporters, like school personnel, to immediately report all incidents of children sharing sexually explicit images of other children to the appropriate authorities. I'm pleased to report that my legislation was included as an amendment to Senate Bill 1050, which passed the Pennsylvania Senate unanimously and is currently awaiting consideration in the Pennsylvania House Judiciary Committee. We are having broader conversations around regulating AI and protecting kids. However, I do believe that this first step will be and needs to be requiring adults in a room to be the first line of defense, especially in school settings. On the topics of technology in schools, I was also proud to co-sponsor Senate Bill 1014, which would require schools to adopt a policy to prohibit the use of cell phones during the school day. We've seen countless reports and research demonstrating a negative impact of cell phone use on the focus and mental health of kids. This legislation is a smart way to allow schools to set their own policies that are right for them while acknowledging that phones in the classroom have a negative impact on learning. There's a similar bill addressing this issue in the House. Once we come to an agreement on a final version, Governor Shapiro has expressed the desire to sign it. I hope to see the final version pass soon. Overall, ensuring kids have a safe, high-quality environment to learn is a top priority. That's why I've been a big advocate of Pennsylvania's continued efforts to improve our public schools and fix historic funding issues. This year's proposed budget takes another important step towards fairly funding our public schools across the Commonwealth. It also increases the funding for special education, so no one gets left behind. Our children and their education will determine our future. I'm proud to support this historic effort to invest in both by improving our public schools, making sure every child and family has the tools and resources they need to thrive here in Lancaster should be a top priority. I know the last few years have been tough on many families. The rising cost of housing, utilities, and just about everything else has made it harder than ever to balance family budgets. Before we move on to the audience participation portion of the town hall, I want to flag some resources that are available to families in need. First, Pennsylvania's Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program, can be a great resource to help kids get insured if you don't have insurance through your job or if you lost your job. It is a vital resource for families to stay healthy when times are tough. Secondly, I know many families rely on free or reduced meals at school during the school year. This can make summer difficult. If you are in this position, I encourage you to check out Pennsylvania's Sun Bucks program. It provides households with a one-time payment for each eligible child to buy food while school is out. Be sure to check out what is available under this and the broader SNAP program if you need a little help with food this summer. Please don't hesitate to reach out to my office if you have questions or need help applying for any state resources. My team will be more than happy to help you. Finally, before we hear from audience members, I want to invite you all to a kids' fair that I'm putting on July 18th at the Hands-On House from 3 to 5 p.m. This will be a great free entertainment for the kids, including free admission to the museum, a touch the truck section, story time, crafts, yoga, and more. You can find more information about that on my social media and website, and I hope you plan to stop by. Now, I'll flip this over to Taryn to start the audience participation portion of tonight's town hall.
Thanks, Senator. So we're going to start to move to audience feedback and question period of the call. Remember to offer your thoughts or ask a question. Please just press star 3 on your keypad at any time. Again, that's star 3 on your keypad to ask a question. The theme of this telephone town hall is family priorities. So we ask that you try to keep the questions and discussion focused on issues that pertain to families and children. Before we move into taking your calls live, Senator Malone would like to do a poll question for the audience to ask about what issues related to kids are most important or pressing to you right now. You will be able to respond to this poll question by pressing numbers that correspond to responses that I'm about to list off shortly. Please wait until you hear all the responses before making your selection. The poll question that Senator Malone is going to ask is, as a parent, guardian, or caregiver of children, what is the most pressing or important topic you would like to see lawmakers address? Press 1 for the cost of childcare. Press 2 for the quality of public schools. Press 3 for online and AI safety. Press 4 for healthcare and nutrition. Press 5 for youth mental health and well-being. Press 6 for support for children with disabilities or special learning needs. And press 7 for other. I'll repeat the question and keypad instructions one more time. The question, as a parent or guardian or caregiver of children, what is the most pressing or important topic that you would like to see lawmakers address? Press 1 for the cost of childcare. Press 2 for the quality of public schools. Press 3 for online and AI safety. Press 4 for health care and nutrition. Press 5 for youth mental health and well-being. Press 6 for support for children with disabilities or special learning needs. And press 7 for other. As we wait for the poll questions to come in, Senator Malone, can you kind of just briefly describe your experience as a father and what it's like raising children in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Now, I will qualify. My youngest is now 21 years old. So if you jump back 2 decades, it was absolutely wonderful. There were so many things to do, both outside and inside, across York and Lancaster, whether it was going and seeing some of our manufacturing museums, wandering around the streets and seeing all the beautiful murals in Lancaster City and in York, in the city in York. Going to Grub Lake, which is a little place out here. All of our various parks, visiting, libraries, between, Lancaster City and Ephrata and Mannheim. I've told a few different people that my kids seem to have a favorite like for the Ephrata Library, so I often ended up doing an extra drive out there. And my son had a huge affinity for putt-putt golf, so we would spend a lot of time finding the little away putt-putt golf throughout the area. And then, of course, during the school years, my kids were very active in cheerleading and in t-ball and in, pee-wee football, soccer. You know, they just like to try everything. And once they got older, my son from ages 8 on to now, got very into and maintained work in martial arts. And my daughter got very involved in marching band. I've come into the 7th grade and kept doing that all through her college career.
That's amazing. I think, would you like to go over the poll results?
Yes, absolutely.
All righty. So our conclusion for the poll results, 6% of the people on this call voted for the cost of childcare. 15% of the callers voted for the quality of public schools. 29% of the callers voted online and AI safety. 15% voted for healthcare and nutrition. 24% of callers voted for youth mental health and well-being. And 6% callers voted for support for children with disabilities or special learning needs. And lastly, 5% voted for other.
Well, thank you all for your feedback. Really appreciate that. All right.
Okay. Are you ready for live questions?
Yeah, let's move on.
Before we begin, one last reminder for if you want to ask a question or enter the discussion with the senator, please press *3 at any time on your keypad. Again, that's *3 to ask a question. We're going to go live with Natalie. Natalie, you're live.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi. Good evening, Senator. Thank you for taking my call. My concern is while you were talking, you were citing studies about how cell phone use in the school classroom has been proven to be disruptive and kind of detrimental to that environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
My opinion on that is if we are addressing cell phone use, shouldn't it also be argued in the same note that iPads in the classroom are being overly used as a substitute instead of teacher-student engagement? My daughter and I moved to Mountville before the start of the school year, and I found it really interesting that on the first day, kind of without me really having any prior knowledge of it, my daughter was sent home with a school iPad and a permission slip. And I found when talking to my daughter that they do quite a lot of activities through their iPad that used to be done with pen and paper or used to be done with science lessons or working on reading instead of reading paper books. They're reading things on their iPad instead. And I feel like mm-hmm. that kind of takes away from a lot of learning. My daughter does struggle with it a bit because she has an audiovisual learning disorder. And I notice that it puts her at a disadvantage in her day-to-day activities because what she can handle at home on pen and paper and understand the concept when it's taught to her, she struggles with learning from an iPad instead.
Well, that is an important aspect for us to look into. Absolutely. I do know that the primary fixture within the cell phones is actually the interruptive distraction. So I do know that there's a slight variant between that and what you're describing on the iPad overload, but that is definitely something for us to look into.
Alrighty, our next caller is Carolyn. Carolyn, you're live.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, it's Carol Ann, but thank you.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Carol Ann.
Common. So I have a question related to our most vulnerable students and could be in the category of the last caller in that with the adults that are in charge, such as para, professionals, and individual aides to our most vulnerable students are typically the least required educated and the least compensated. How can you forge a change in that?
Well, I know some of the items that we are working on is in compensation. And in promoting training. I think one of the big aspects that we have all across the Commonwealth are unfunded mandates where we say to school districts, hey, you know, your teacher's aide really ought to know these six things. And then we give absolutely no resources to be able to implement that. But I think one of the things that we can do to address some of those issues is by really looking at our policies and making sure that we are helping to fund the continuing education that is really needed to make sure that our teachers' aides, teachers, counselors have all the tools that they need to really help our students.
Do you feel that the idea of the Department of Ed, the feds being involved and not giving the states their full control could be an answer to this? As in they're not in control anymore and the state has more control?
So just a minor correction. The states have always had the majority control in education. The only thing that we've really lost, which is substantial, the only thing we've really lost from the Department of Ed is the funding and the backing to move forward. But I do believe that as we're absolutely needing to take up more of the financial burden in education, we need to redouble our efforts of looking through what we're doing throughout the Commonwealth within public education to ensure that every child does get their constitutionally guaranteed right of a good public education.
Okay, thank you. I do hope that you mull over this. I'm an educator 27 years and special ed as well, and I am flabbergasted and confused why the individuals that have the most difficult, most challenging students literally have the least requirements and not paid as well as I am, to be frank.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And yeah, we'll definitely look into it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *3 on your keypad at any point during this call. Again, it's *3 on your keypad to ask a question or join the discussion. Senator, we had some questions submitted before the call, one of them being, I think a lot of parents have been surprised by how quickly AI chatbots have spread among students and in the classroom. I know that you voted for Senate Bill 1090, which requires chat boxes to have safety restrictions for children. I'm curious to hear about your thoughts on that bill and whether or not you think it'll pass the House.
I do believe that a version of Senate Bill 1090 will come out of the House. I believe the House and Senate are, we have a bicameral and bipartisan movement to set up these guardrails. And I believe that that's probably just the start of it. We can't dictate, where these companies are setting up their algorithms and their data models that feed those chatbots, but we can absolutely dictate how they must have guide rails interacting with our kids, and we need to do everything we can to prevent those machines from guiding vulnerable just young people, right? Your brain's not fully developed, and guiding them to self-harm, suicide, and violence. We need to make sure that we are not doing that.
Thank you. Another online question was, what are your thoughts on AI being used in the classroom and in schools to teach kids?
So artificial intelligence is a tool. So you should always have a educated human being using that tool for whatever benefits are possible. So I don't believe in any case whatsoever we should just be like, oh, here's this program, go at it. I believe you absolutely have to have supervision. Ideally, you'd have an educator who's already gone through the program knows what it is, has it vetted, and is using it as a tool to help them educate children. But at no point should it just be handed over as a blanket solution. It is a tool for, you fill in the blank, educators, project managers, whatever, but it is not a solution in and of itself.
Thank you. We had an anonymous question come through on the website. As someone who works in the ABA field, I've seen how difficult it is for people who graduate with their master's to get the license to support families in need with autism. Is there anything that you can do to help with this process?
Yeah, there's actually a bicameral movement to try and organize some of the licensing so that rather than currently where it, if you get through your education, you've basically taken the entire test and you have to go back through and retake that to get your licensure. There's a movement to try and make sure that we do not decrease the quality, but we do find those parities and unify them. So we're like, okay, you've passed this. You've shown that you know this information. You get the degree or you get the licensure along with the degree. So we are working on some of those solutions that do not reduce the quality, but increase the, hopefully, the number of people and quickens that pipeline to get folks on the ground. You know, I will just say for myself, having had two sons with autism on different ends of the spectrum in different school districts, that it is very easy to see very, very different results from just the people and the adults in the room. So it is something that we are very keenly aware of.
Thank you. Our next question was, what are your thoughts on increasing funding for supporting child care?
I'm already working on that a bit. I do think that it is important. The proposed budget, right? I don't know what we're going to finally end up with, but the proposed budget does include an additional set of funding for the 26-27 budget for childcare, specifically on grants in order to retain and care for. And then, of course, as I said, my bill 1310. Would increase the option for employers to help with child care contributions. So I think in both of those areas, we have some fairly heavy bicameral and bipartisan support on increasing funding for child care and increasing ways of helping parents and their employers cover those kind of costs. So I don't think it's just me. I believe a lot of us really believe that we should do what we can to help families cover child care costs.
Thank you. For everyone on the call, a quick reminder, if you would like to join the discussion or ask a question, please press *3 on your keypad. It's, again, *3 to ask a question and join the discussion. Senator, the next question was, I saw you introduced a resolution for Autism Awareness Month back in April, and I was wondering if you could talk about your experience as a parent of children with autism and what support or services helped your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So my older son has autism with some other developmental issues, a lot of the helps involved, the ARC, Lancaster Lebanon, was incredibly helpful, with my, younger son, Eagle's Nest, which was a, behavioral, support, program, during his sixth year. Middle school was incredibly beneficial. It allowed, and then of course having counselors was incredibly beneficial. And then keeping a constant work and with the school districts involved was also very important. And constantly looking up and being my own family advocate, as well as, you know, my son's mothers as well. Because, you know, you have to always advocate for the best interest of your child and push that forward. And one of the things that really came out of that for us is, you know, we would be, you know, out at a grocery store, out at a bookstore, and strike up a conversation with somebody and find out that, you know, they were starting this journey or they were in the middle of this journey, and being able to share with them those resources as well, and then hear from other people as well of, you know, what is happening and what's going on in the system. But I do believe that having that knowledge, that always looking for your own advocacy is very important. And then, you know, a ton of reading as well. So I know that that's a lot of, here's your homework for your life. But that happens in a lot of areas where we have to become our own advocates. But yeah, school districts, I will say one school district required a little more combative nature. Another one was extremely supportive. And so, you know, you just have to always work for the best interest of your child and be willing to always learn and really be willing to believe that there's always a better way to do things.
All righty. Our next caller is Natalie. Natalie, you're live.
Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Senator. I appreciate your response to my last question. My next thought for you is, with all of the news regarding data centers popping up left and right and all of the information that is coming out about the surrounding environmental factors concerning air fact, air quality, water usage, you know, the sound disturbances, everything else like that, what are your thoughts on keeping those away from the vicinity of school?
So I really think that with data centers in particular, I think we're talking about hyperscale data centers, the really big folks. I really think that we ought to try to focus those in industrial areas, but we also need to allow, you know, the local residents and their municipality to figure out what works best for their situation and for their environment. I know personally, I have voted, with many others, but I voted to allow municipalities to be able to put brakes on any data center coming in so that they can work out those issues in their ordinances and with their, you know, with their neighbors and within the municipality. And I do believe that that's very important, because we do need to make sure that we're not overusing resources, that we're not, you know, damaging our extremely fertile farmland, that we're not creating a bigger problem than what we're solving. So on my own feelings on that, and on my votes as well, you know, I do support Governor Shapiro's grid plan. I do believe that while we're trying to do that, we need to work together to make sure that, you know, every municipality and the individuals living in there can have the time to make sure that they are setting up a environment that is healthy and helpful for the entire community. That's kind of what I land on it.
As much as I love your vision for that, the problem is businesses and corporations and investors are the ones that are funneling more money into a community in an effort to get these data centers put in than the local constituents are. The big corporations don't care about the families that are in the backyard of this data center. They don't care how close the school is. They don't care how close the local waterway is. And they don't care about the damage and the output they do. I don't care about whether or not data centers exist. What I'm concerned about is making sure they're a safe enough distance away from my children. One of them has an audiovisual learning disorder and struggles to learn in a technology-heavy school district as it is. And the other, who is, like your children, has his own disorders and is nonverbal. And
yeah.
I understand the struggle of having to advocate for your children because they can't advocate for themselves. So I feel you and I respect you on that for raising two, from what I understand, very well-esteemed gentlemen. But, you know, that's a concern we have. We all want safety for our kids, of course, at the end of the day. But my concern is, I understand about leaving it up to municipalities and communities, and I think communities are doing a great part in doing their own fight. But the problem is these communities are saying, no, we don't want these data centers in our backyard. And they're being overridden by the fact that there's more money staring at, like, the local, no offense to you specifically, but, like, local governments, local municipalities, local mayors that are taking this money regardless of the local constituents' wishes that are doing this anyway. So my concern is, I understand leaving it up to municipalities, but you as a Senate representative do have a broader spectrum of power where you can apply a broader spectrum of protections to our schools and our places that our most vulnerable populations are on a grander level.
Definitely there is that nuance. I will say that in the Commonwealth, we tend to try to do local government first, right? That is the nature of a Commonwealth. And I hear what you're saying, and I do understand that there is that fear. I will pull out as an example, though, that we have you're here in my district, but Columbia, if you're not familiar, is a local borough.
I used to live in Columbia, actually. So I was very familiar with their situation.
So they had over 400 residents show up to a public meeting. And I will say, I've been to Columbia meetings, and they're usually fairly heavily populated, 10 to 15 people, right? Which if you go to public gatherings across our district, that is a pretty heavy attendance. And they had 400-plus residents show up and air their concerns, and the community and the council did hear them out and did respond accordingly. And I have seen that far more often than not, where if people show up and present their voice, they're heard. So I do understand your concern that somebody would override the concerns of the, larger residency. I think overall we've got a pretty good system. Obviously, I'll continue to monitor and, pay attention to the details. I think across the Commonwealth we've got a pretty good record of our local municipalities working to serve the majority of their residents to the best of their ability.
Excellent. Well, let's hope that that pattern continues. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, Senator, next question. How are you communicating and working with our local school districts?
So I have regular check-ins with our superintendents and our school boards. So in our district, we have 10 school districts. And so we've been pretty consistent so that they know that we're always available for them, we being my entire office, my staff, and myself. And then that is how we do it. And I'll go out to visit with them. They'll come in here to the district office. And then we also have a phone and email communications.
Alrighty, if you would like to ask a question or join the discussion, please press star 3 on your keypad. Again, that's star 3 to ask a question or join the discussion. Another online submitted question, Senator, how can we make more child care here in Lancaster that people can afford?
Well, it takes a lot of work, but we can do it. I think I'm okay to highlight that we have actually had a long time in Manheim Borough, and Manheim Central has been lacking in child care, and working with our representative there, Representative Mindy Feeney, and working with and working actually with the adult care facility out there, we were able to set up and build a child care provision. So that is in the works. It may be online by the beginning of 2027. But there are different programs like that where we're always looking to say, where can we help to build a child care unit that is helpful and, you know, and come online in a decent amount of time. But those do take a lot of time and a lot of work. Pleasant view.
Hi. And then I believe we have one more question. What was your favorite activity to do with your kids in Lancaster?
So my absolute favorite was actually wandering around Grub Lake. We did a lot of, you know, out into nature walkabouts. I also really enjoyed seeing my children's responses and reactions to things. So I also enjoyed taking them to the Wolf Sanctuary in out here in Lititz. Definitely wandering around a lot of our local and county parks was a huge memory for me.
Thank you. I believe that was our last question for the night.
All right. Well, then I will close up. I'll just say to everybody, thank you for participating in tonight's town hall. As I said, making sure families and children in Lancaster have what they need to thrive is a top priority for me. Your thoughts and feedback are important to me, and I will consider them as I conduct my work in Harrisburg. To keep up with my work, you can subscribe to my newsletter by visiting the website at senatormelan.com. You can also follow me on social at SEN, James Malone. I hope to see you out at our Kids Fair on July 18th at the Hands-On House. And thank you again for joining, and I hope you all have a good night.